Well, that song is such a great encouragement to our hearts. We can have great confidence in the fact that we have trusted in Jesus Christ, that our name is written on his hands, that his wounds should have been our wounds and his blood is applied to us. If you're thankful you're a Christian this morning, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that wonderful hymn text written by Charles Wesley, which reminds us there is no reason to fear. We walk by faith, not in fear. And so whatever you're going through, you can trust God, you can trust his word, you can trust your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's wonderful to be with you today on this Father's Day. It's a privilege for me to be in this pulpit, a privilege for me to be with you folks. I love your church. This is a wonderful church. And it's kind of unique that I had the chance to preach to your teenagers this week at the Wilds. As a matter of fact, they heard me. Plenty of times. They heard me 9 different times this week. And I told Pastor Mark and Pastor Day that this is just an extended day of camp. So maybe we should play a game and we should have some skits and we should do that and definitely take off the coat and tie. That'd be nice. But I'm so thankful for your youth group. Thankful for just what a wonderful testimony they are. Actually, your church is one of the largest youth groups that has come to our camp at the Wilds this summer. My wife and I and our family, we work there throughout the entire summer, except for just a couple weeks where I go to speak at other camps. It's always a blessing to see Calvary Baptist Church coming all the way from Midland, Michigan to the Wilds Christian Camp. And I hope that you'll just keep coming. And I notice you got a really nice bus. And so that's a great thing. And I know you have a really safe bus driver. And I heard they came through some storms last night, got in probably around 9:30 last night. I flew from Greenville and they drove basically the entire way. And so there's a few tired people in the auditorium here this morning, but I hope that God would use his word to speak to our hearts. I really appreciate your church. I'm thankful for your pastor and for the longevity that God has graciously given him here in this ministry. And I think it's appropriate on this Father's Day not only to remember your pastor, but also his father, who was the pastor here for so many years. And now you have the third generation, Pastor Mark, who is on the staff here as well. I appreciate all these men. I'm friends with Pastor Dave as well, Pastor Jeff as well. Thankful to meet your new youth pastor this week at the Wilds. And God has richly blessed you here. I have the privilege of traveling all across the country. And this is one of my favorite churches. It really is. I'm thankful for what God is doing here at Calvary Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled Faithful Fathers. Pastor Jeff had no idea of what I was actually the theme of my message this morning when he picked the song Faithful Men. And I was thinking as we were singing that song, those are all the illustrations that we could use to describe faithful men, faithful fathers in the Bible who trusted God's word, obeyed God's word, and saw God do great things in their lives. Many of them are etched in what is called the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And though the message this morning is a Father's Day message, I think it's important for us to recognize that God doesn't want just faithful men. God wants all of us to be faithful. And so, though the primary application this morning is for all of us as men, ladies, you're not exempt, so don't fall asleep this morning, okay? Because God wants you to put these characteristics of faithfulness in your life as well. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, where the Bible says this, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" It's a question. Then he says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Faithful men impact children. Faithful men impact their families. I think that's the idea of this text. If you're a man of integrity, a man of faithfulness, it will show up in your family. Turn with me over to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. These are just two references that we're going to kind of jump off of this morning as we look at the subject of faithful fathers, faithful men. God is looking for faithful men. We are to be the leaders in our home. We are to be the leaders in our churches. We are to be the leaders in the community. This is God's plan, that we would be faithful to him. Psalm 12, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Help, Lord, For the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. What a sad reality it is that when you look at the society, when you look at people in general, it is sometimes very difficult to find faithful men, faithful people, faithful fathers. Men, this morning, God is calling us to be faithful. And I want to challenge you about that today. And maybe even at the end of this message, there ought to be some men getting on your knees and just saying, God, help me to be a faithful father. As for me and my house, we will please the Lord. If you're not a father yet, that God would make you a faithful man that impacts your family and impacts others for the cause of Jesus Christ. It was at the end of last summer that I decided that my wife and I were going to go on a date. This is a good thing to do as a husband, right? Take your wife on a date every once in a while. I think we ought to do that more often. And all the ladies would say amen to that, right? Now, I'm not like these guys over here who, when they do a date, they cook the entire meal. No, I would prefer to go on a date where I just kind of swipe the credit card. You know what I'm saying? But this particular date that I went on, it was very unique because I decided to take my truck on the date. Some of you know this. We travel in full-time evangelism. My wife and I and our four girls, we live in a fifth-wheel trailer. Our trailer is over 50 feet long. It's as long as a semi-trailer. We pull our trailer with a modified, rebuilt semi-truck. Class 8 semi-truck. 465 horsepower engine in it. And it's a Cummins N14. Guys, if you're a man, you're interested in trucks, that's the engine we have underneath the hood. It's a Volvo truck. So we decided to go on a date in the Volvo semi-truck. Some of you are ladies thinking, that's not very romantic. Well, there was a reason why we were driving the truck. You see, we were just getting ready to leave camp for the summer. As we had spent the summer at the Wilds, we were heading out west. Our first meeting actually was going to be in Houston, Texas, so we were going to do a very long drive. And I looked at my fuel gauge on my truck, and I noticed that my fuel gauge was all the way down on E. As a matter of fact, I was wondering if I could even make it to the gas station. Well, we were serving at the Wilds camp in North Carolina, and some of you may know this, that actually North Carolina fuel expense or fuel cost is about 40 cents a gallon more than just crossing the border into South Carolina. So I said, honey, let's take the truck. Let's go spend some time together and let's have a date at the truck stop. You see, my truck can carry 300 gallons of diesel. So multiply that times 40 cents and you're saving yourself a good amount of money. It was only about 40 miles to get down to the truck stop. And so I remember as I hopped in the truck, started up, we started headed down the windy roads of the Wilds camp and down to Greenville. Some of you may be driven those roads. And we made our way to the Quick Trips truck stop down there in Anderson, South Carolina. And I was worried the entire time that I was going to run out of fuel like some of these guys did that we looked at this morning. But I found out when I pulled into the truck stop that actually I still had quite a bit of fuel in my truck. My fuel gauge was off. It's good to know this. I can push it further now, right? Now that I know that E doesn't really mean E, it means you still have a little bit in there. As a matter of fact, I pumped it all the way full on both sides of my truck and I only ended up putting in 200 gallons of fuel. Now, I know it's early in the morning, but how many gallons did I still have in my tank? 100 gallons of diesel. We're getting about maybe 8 miles to the gallon, so I could have gone about another 800 miles. I can push it further and further now. Now, that's a simple illustration to represent sometimes what happens in our lives as men. And as believers in general, I think sometimes we live with a wrong gauge. We gauge our lives with a wrong perspective. And I think we as men especially are prone to be tempted in this. My gauge was broken, and sometimes your gauge is broken when you try to evaluate your life and you evaluate success and you evaluate how you are doing. And sometimes our gauge is messed up in this way. We think that we are a success or we are doing the right things when we see a lot of fruit coming out of our life. I don't know if you're like me, men, but you like to know that you're accomplishing something, right? You like to see some fruit. You like to see some success. You like to see some results. But I want to warn you this morning, God does not gauge our life based upon the results, based upon the fruit. I do know the scripture says, by your fruits you shall know them. So yes, we ought to be bearing fruit. But if you judge your life based solely on the fruit that you see, you may be sorely discouraged sometimes. I remember a few years ago, I was visiting Japan and I was visiting a missionary who had been in that city in Japan for 14 years, a city of over a quarter of a million people. And he only had about 25 people in his church. He was a little bit frustrated. He was somewhat discouraged, but I'm not willing to walk away from that missionary and say that man is not a successful man. He's successful because he's faithful. Success is not gauged on the fruit that you see. Secondly, success is not gauged based upon the good feeling that you get. The good feeling of, wow, I'm accomplishing something. And I think, again, men are tempted about this because work is something that God has graciously granted to us. And we like to feel fulfilled in what we're doing. We like to feel good about the work we're accomplishing, right? But surely you've recognized this, that feelings are like this, right? Feelings are like a big roller coaster. You surely can't trust in your feelings. There are going to be some days where you really don't feel like you're accomplishing anything. And I just want to tell you that your gauge may be broken. Do not gauge your life by the fruit you see. And do not gauge your life based upon the feeling that you get. Men, this morning, God gauges our life, and we ought to gauge our life based on faithfulness. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. The word faithful, especially in the Old Testament, was a word that represented stability, support, consistency is the idea of the word faithful. It was used in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word was used to describe the support, the strong arms of a father supporting their child when they're holding them when they're young. It was used of the pillars of a building that would be the steady, reliable, consistent, strong, stable pillars that hold up the building. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for you to be consistent, stable, steady, supporting your family, supporting your wife, supporting this local church, and being a consistent, faithful man. That's what God is looking for. In the Marine Corps, they call this Semper Fidelis, always faithful. And so this morning, we just want to quickly look at three characteristics of a person, of a man, specifically this morning, a faithful father, three characteristics of someone who is faithful to the Lord. And the interesting thing is that these characteristics, first of all, are pulled out of the faithfulness of our Father. God Himself is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalm 36 verse 5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. And so this is not a man-centered message this morning. This is a God-centered message this morning, because really the characteristics of faithfulness are, first of all, rooted in our Heavenly Father. And since God is faithful, we as His followers must be faithful. So let's look at these three characteristics this morning. And men, especially, I want you to just allow God to teach you and instruct you this morning, because remember, God's not looking necessarily for just fruit and a good feeling. God's looking for you to be faithful. And this is what faithfulness looks like. Let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And what we find in Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Bible. Every verse in Psalm 119 refers to God's precepts, His commands, His principles, His word. I think that's significant that the longest chapter in the Bible is all about the Bible. I think that this shows us the significance of the Word of God. But we find in Psalm 119, first of all, verse 86, we find that God is faithful by way of His promises. All right. So here's the first characteristic. The first characteristic of a faithful father is a faithful father is one who is consistently confident in God's promises. A faithful father is one who is consistently confident in God's promises. How do we see this? Well, we see it in our Heavenly Father. Psalm 119, verse 86, where it says this, "All thy commandments are faithful." You notice in the King James translation that the word "are" is in italics. We can literally say it this way, "All thy commandments, faithful." In other words, God keeps his promises. Aren't you thankful for that? And if God is faithful by keeping his promises, then we are faithful by trusting his promises, resting and rejoicing and placing our confidence in God's promises. Glance down to verse 89. Verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." And I think he continues the flow of thought into verse 90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." Look down at verse 138. Verse 138 of Psalm 119. It says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Folks, I can declare to you that God is faithful by keeping his promises. 1 Kings 8, verse 56 says, "There hath not failed one word of all God's good promises." And so what I'm teaching this morning is, as a result of God's faithfulness, faithful men trust and rest in God's word. Psalm 111, verse 7 says, "All of his commandments are sure." That's the same Hebrew word. All of God's commandments are faithful. Ezekiel 12, verse 25, "I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." I'll tell you, one of the greatest things we can do for our families is rely on, trust in, depend on, stand on the word of God. That's what faithfulness looks like. Confidence in God's promises. Men, how does this show up in our lives? I believe faithfulness in this way, consistently trusting in God's promises, is shown up, first of all, in how we obey God's word. You see, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if we're going to say we believe the Bible, then we must demonstrate it with obedience. And so really, confidence is not just given with lip service. Confidence in the Word of God is given with life service. We must practice the Word of God. James chapter 1 says, "But be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only." Listen, there is no better way to impact the next generation than to just simply live God's truth. There's nothing mystical or magical. There's not a perfect formula. There's not a 10-step process to being a good father. You know what you need to do? You need to obey God. Obey God's word and show your children that you love God's word by obedience, actively pursuing a righteousness for the Lord. So confidence in God's promises is revealed in how we practice and obey God's word. But confidence in God's promises is also revealed in how we proclaim God's word. Can I ask you a question as a father? When was the last time your children heard you sharing God's word with somebody by way of a witness? Or maybe a devotional, or maybe in your family Bible time, which I hope you have. You see, confidence in God's word is proven to our family members, is proven to our children when the father makes much of the word of God in the home. Your children hearing you share the gospel, be an ambassador for Christ? Are your children hearing you read the Bible? Are your children understanding that dad is confident in God's word? The dad is not doing it on his own. He's following God's word. He's just helping us to learn and grow by the word of God. You see, a faithful father is one who is consistently confident in God's promises. So I ask you, men, this morning, does that describe you? You may not be as fruitful as you'd like to be. And frankly, when we look at our home sometimes, especially when the kids are really, really young, sometimes we wonder, when's the fruit going to come? Right? You definitely aren't going to wake up every day with a really good feeling about how good of a father you are. It's not about the fruit, and it's not about the feeling. It's about living out God's promises, trusting in God's promises, being a faithful father, consistently confident in God's promises. Let's turn to another text of scripture in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. We don't often go to the book of Lamentations, but when we talk about the faithfulness of God, there is a classic text of scripture that describes for us God's faithfulness in Lamentations chapter 3. This is the text from which we get the great hymn that we sing often, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee." This is the text where that hymn was inspired by this text. Lamentations 3, verse 23. And once again, we are learning about being a faithful father from our heavenly Father. And the point that I'm making is this: if God is faithful as our Father, then men, we must be faithful as a father, consistently confident in God's promises. But secondly, I think this text reminds us that a faithful father is one who is consistently compassionate to God's people. A faithful father is one who is consistently compassionate to God's people. Lamentations 3, verse 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You see, often faithfulness and mercy are combined together in the text of Scripture because both of them are included in the creation of man and the redemption of man. God is faithful not only to make us, but God is faithful to redeem us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that is because he loves us. And so what we find is God is faithful in his mercy, his compassion to us. Mercy is a very important word in the Old Testament. It's a word that really has three different ideas. First of all, mercy means somebody has a need. And as a father, surely we recognize that our wife has needs. Our children have needs. There are needs at our local assembly, our local church. There are needs in the community. We need to open our eyes and we need to see the needs. Faithful men, faithful fathers are people that are seeing the needs and running to accomplish things to meet those needs. So it's mercy means somebody has a need. Mercy means somebody has the ability to meet the need. And really, God has blessed all of us. Not only can we help physically and financially, but even spiritually sometimes, we can meet the need. It's a sad day when in the Christian home, the mothers are doing all of the mercy. The mothers are meeting all the needs. Boy, it was great to see how many guys were still standing about washing dishes even this morning. That's good. You ought to be showing mercy. You ought to be helping out. But in a most profound way, we ought to be showing mercy spiritually to guide our family members, to guide our children to the truth of God, and not being so focused on our work and so focused on our livelihood and the American dream that we miss showing mercy to the most important people in life. Family relationships are the most important relationships. Next to our relationship with God, there is nothing more important than having a right family, right relationships in the home. And you know where it starts, men? It starts with us as fathers. See the need, have the ability to meet the need. And then the third part of mercy is this: you got to meet the need. Sacrifice. Aren't you aware that we're living in a very individualistic, selfish generation? And there are many men that they go to work every day, and when they come home, it's all about them. It's all about me. It's all about my time. It's all about my entertainment. It's all about I had a rough day. And there's not a lot of mercy being shown sometimes in the home. God wants us to be merciful, to see the need, meet the need, and sacrifice for the need. I believe this compassion of God, this mercy, can show up in our lives in these two specific ways. First of all, I believe consistent compassion is shown up in our lives. It's revealed by how we forgive other people. Real mercy is proven when you don't hold a grudge. Real mercy is proven when you release that thing your wife said or that that action that your son or daughter did, and you don't hold a grudge and try to take vengeance and get angry and bitter on the inside, not just in the home, but in the local church as well and in the community. The classic text on this is 1 John 1, verse 9, where we find out the mercy of God. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful. Aren't you thankful that God is consistently faithful in forgiving us? He forgives us. And what this shows me is that if God is faithful by way of forgiveness because of His mercy, we as men ought to be very careful that we don't have a bitter, angry, unforgiving spirit. I'll tell you, men, you're going to face some things where people are going to hurt you, maybe even family members. Unkind things are going to be done and said. And we have to be men of God that don't get bitter and angry and hold on to that and take vengeance on those people and say, if they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. No, a faithful person, a faithful man is one who is forgiving. Is there somebody you're holding a grudge against? Is there somebody that has hurt you? I would challenge you this morning, be a faithful father, be a faithful man and release that. Forgive that person. The Bible says, how shall your heavenly Father forgive you if you can't forgive those who offend you? Faithful men are people that are filled with mercy. And when things go wrong and people mistreat them, it hurts. They shed tears. Their heart might be broken, but there's not a root of bitterness springing up in them. They forgive. They're merciful. Compassion towards God's people is revealed in how we forgive others. But secondly, compassion towards God's people is revealed in what we are willing to forfeit for others. Here's what the Bible says about God and His faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. This is what God was willing to give up. This is how faithful He is to us. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Men, if we are going to be faithful like our Heavenly Father, we must be willing to sacrifice and serve again and again and again and again, not needing any accolades or applause in return, but just simply serving out of the overflow of the mercy of God in our heart. So compassion towards God's people is revealed in what we are willing to forfeit. Surely you have recognized this, that sometimes, as Paul said, the more abundantly we love, the less we are loved. You know what happens sometimes, I think especially for us as men, because we want to see the fruit and we want to have a good feeling and we're not getting that response back from that person that we're loving. We're not seeing any fruit from the compassion that we're showing. And the tendency is to just quit, to just give up, to stop serving. Stop serving my wife. Stop serving my children. Stop serving in the local church because it's not really making a difference anyways. Listen, faithfulness is consistently showing compassion. Not based upon the response of the individual you're showing compassion to, but based upon what you know about God. We should be faithful in mercy because God is faithful in mercy. One person said it this way. Sometimes we think that giving our life to God is glamorous. Hey, God, I'm going to come to you and give my entire life. Lord, if I'm a martyr, I'll go out in a blaze of glory. That sounds really great and really bombastic. And man, everybody would notice. But actually, as this preacher said, giving your life to Christ is not like taking $1,000 to the bank and cashing it in all at one time. But actually, it's like going to the bank and getting rolls of quarters. And every day, just dishing out a quarter here and a quarter there. You see, giving your life to Christ and serving God in a merciful, compassionate way. Are you listening? It is not glamorous. It's done in the little acts of kindness. Little acts of compassion towards people every day. It's given out one quarter at a time. Men, I want to challenge you. Don't ever stop loving people. Don't ever stop serving. Serve and be merciful to your wife. Serve and be merciful to your children. Serve in this local church. This is what faithful men do. And God is looking for faithful men who will be faithful like He's faithful. Faithfulness is one of those characteristics that we can ascribe to. It's God's communicable attribute. We can be faithful consistently, confident in God's promises, consistently compassionate to God's people. And finally, let's turn to another text in Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33. Number 3, a faithful person, a faithful father is one who is consistently completing God's plan. Here's another characteristic we find about God, and it is this. When God starts something, He finishes it. Philippians chapter 1 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you shall perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I think there are times that we as men are very susceptible to this. We get all excited about something. We get all fired up about getting involved in something, and we start it, but we don't complete it. Some of the ladies are thinking, yeah, there's a few projects around the house that have been sitting around for a while. That's just a simple illustration by way of even home maintenance and things like that. And sometimes we start a project and we don't finish it because we don't get that energy and excitement to complete the task. But it's okay if it's just a home maintenance issue, a house issue. But it's not okay if it's a spiritual work for God. Whatever God calls you to do, you need to complete it. Look at Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works. And again, we have these italicized words and then the word in truth. So actually in the Hebrew text, it says, for the word of the Lord is right and all his works faithful. That's the same word, faithful, there. Or we could say like Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. All of God's works, all of God's plans are faithful. One person said it this way, maybe we should be a little bit like a postage stamp. Stick to one thing until you get there. Because so many of us have so many irons in the fire that we're really not even completing any of them. We're not doing any of them very well. And really the call of God in our life is to complete those things that God challenges us to complete. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Don't waste your time waiting and longing for all the big, large opportunities, but rather put your time into the little things, the little things that are always claiming your attention. Just be faithful to complete what God has already given you to do. And then make the next step to follow through in another ministry or another thing in your family or another truth that God wants you to live out. God is faithful in his completing of his plan. Men, I am challenging you this morning to be a faithful father. Oh, how desperate we need men of God in the home. The family is being destroyed in America. The divorce rate is skyrocketing. Children are running wild. And you know where the responsibility lies? It lies at the feet of fathers. Men, we must be faithful. Where's the consistency, the support, the steadiness, the reliability in our lives? Just a few months ago, you had the privilege of meeting my father. He's a strong, big guy, but most importantly, he's a spiritual giant in our family. I sent him a text this morning. I said, Dad, thanks for, most of all, representing a godly man to me. Thanks so much for representing to me a godly father and a godly preacher, a pastor. Thanks for your consistency, is what I said in my text. Thanks for your perseverance. And it has impacted our family. It has impacted me and my brothers. And I believe in some sense we are serving the Lord because of God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of a father. Faithful fathers impact others. Just as the text said in Proverbs chapter 20. His children will be blessed after him. God is looking for you to be faithful. Men, I challenge you today, be consistent, be faithful, confident in God's promises, compassionate to God's people, completing God's plan. That's the challenge, so that our gauge is not wrong, so that we're not running our life saying, oh, I got to see more fruit, I got to have a better feeling. No, God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be steady and consistent. And maybe today you need to make a decision and commit yourself to that even today.